Sean, hey, you need to tell me what the hell's going on. What are you doing? Where are you going?
Macau.
Macau?
Those guys are going after my sister next. I have to get to her first.
You have a sister?
Look, I know this is confusing. I'll explain it when I get back, I promise.
No, no. Hell no, dude. This is bullshit. I've been by your side for half your life. I get there are things you never wanted to talk about, and I never wanted to push. But a guy with a freaking machete for an arm just chopped our butts in half, Sean. Who the hell are you?
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Wretched Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to get a massive decal on the side of his car with his own name on it, Alex Perkins. Perk, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well, thanks. You missed the mark. No chance. I can't stand decals and wraps and all that. I think they're yucky.
I was really just imagining like the commercial Perkins logo, and you just blow it up and just throw that in the side of your car.
That's kind of fire, though.
Yeah.
I could maybe come around to that.
Are you a fan of Perkins? Have you been there in
recently? Of course,
recently?
Yeah.
I went there
not even
with,
just for the bit. I don't know. I'm equal opportunity. I also very much enjoy IHOP.
What, Denny's?
Denny's is all right, too.
Okay.
I know everyone hates Denny's, but it's fine.
I mean, they're all fine. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, they're nothing special. Like, I went there with our friend Javid last December when I was home to Perkins, and it was like, yeah, this is just what you would expect. Very just okay breakfast food.
Pretty traditional breakfast food joint.
Yeah, nothing crazy. So, yeah, throw that logo on the car. I think you'll get all the ladies, you know?
Yeah, of course. All the 75-year-old...
Exactly.
$6 pancakes before 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. Ladies. Yeah.
Exactly. That's the demographic you want to hit.
Of course.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This is the show where every week Perk and I review a movie that is connected to the last one we watched. If you like our show, tell your friends about it. We post every Friday morning, and we always talk about what we're going to watch next week so you can follow along and watch movies with us. But last week, we watched In the Mood for Love, and we decided to follow our boy, Tony Leung Choo Y, to yet another. Is this the fourth Tony movie we've watched?
I know.
I feel like it is.
I feel like we're not getting that good of a spread, but I don't really care.
he's great.
I think he's pretty
Tony.
Good. Yeah.
We followed him to our first Marvel movie on the pod, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I'm a big Marvel fan. Perk is not so much, so we'll see how this goes. But Perk, why don't you intro us for us?
All right, so Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings is a 2021 joint directed by Destin Daniel Cretton, starring Simu Liu, Awkwafina, mm-hmm. and Tony Leung, the aforementioned, my mm-hmm. personal hero. And it follows a like Chinese mythological superhero, MCU, Hidden Village, all that good stuff.
You know, that standard kind of plot.
Yeah, yeah. The usual. Fun fact for you. In the 80s, Stan Lee considered doing a TV or film adaptation of Shang-Chi with Bruce Lee's son in mind.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Plan okay. fell through, though, so.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we got him now.
Yeah, we got him.
Perk, I've seen this movie multiple times. What did you think of it on your first watch?
I liked it a lot, asterisk.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take it. I'll take it for a Marvel movie.
Yeah, I have a laundry list of problems, but overall, it's just pretty fun. Pretty good movie. A lot better than some of the other recent Marvel stuff, I feel like. At least the stuff that I've checked out, it certainly mm-hmm. holds up.
Yeah, I think this is like one of my favorite of recent movies, just because it kind of gets back to like the origin story, you know, style of Marvel movie, which like is like comfort food, right? It's just usually pretty yeah. solid and like self-contained and like nice. And I think what set this movie apart is like, I think the action is super well designed and shot, and just like the choreography is just really, really cool. And then also the characters are really fun and, like the settings are cool and like the plot I think is like fine, but I do appreciate like I wish we got a little bit more with Tony, but I do appreciate like his kind of motivation, and it's more sad than anything else.
Just
you know, a person who's lost his wife, which is I think is objectively is more interesting than a lot of other, these kind of villains.
No, I think he's great. I think he absolutely kills it in the role he's given. And I agree maybe that there could have been a little more with him, but like he eats it up and he's yeah. great. And I agree his motivations are good. And there's no goofy like redemption, like, oops, I messed up. Let's tag team moment, yeah. which is that's kind of the standard fare. So at least they kind of mix it up a little bit there.
Yeah, I mean, and going off of that, just jumping to the end of the movie, I appreciate yeah, so much sorry. That the people's souls don't come back after they killed a big monster.
I had the like, same thought.
You know, you expect yeah. it to happen 9 times out of 10 in these kind of movies where oh, you killed the guy who ate all the souls. Oh, the souls return. Everyone's fine. Nope, they're fucking dead. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? I appreciate that. I know. Shouts my boy Gong Bao, but, you know.
Consequences, you know? It's, yeah. It adds tension when, like, you know that actually, like, half these people probably just died.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and they're not so they're not the Thor nameless faceless half of our people.
Right.
It's like characters that we know, characters that we've gotten to know at least a little bit. They're like yeah. you can at least put a name to the face.
Yeah. And it like it does end up being like a CG monsters, but I think they're cooler than normal, right? Like this soul sucking I think is cool, and like the fact that like normal weapons just like go through them is cool to see. And then we get like a big kaiju fight with like dope like dragons, and I'm like, you know what? I'm here for it. Like it's awesome. Like we get to see a really cool like Chinese or Eastern style dragon, which I wrote down like, dude, those do not get enough love. We need to see more just Eastern style dragons because I think they're just so freaking cool, and we very rarely see them.
That's fair. I wholeheartedly disagree.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Where do you want to start with? Do you want to start with like action story? Where yeah. Do you want to go
so we can start with the action. I have a few points. I'll just start at the climax, the CGI yeah. monster mash. I think it sucks. I think it's just like it's whatever. It's good at face value, but from what we've gotten for the rest of the movie, it's like, oh, now we're doing this, I guess.
That's fair. Yeah.
Everything has been, you know, fairly grounded to an extent. And you're right. I think the choreography is really good in the hand to hand type scenes. And then it's like, nah, we're going to fly around on big dragon guy. And,
mm-hmm.
and Awkwafina is going to have the Deus Ex arrow, which was like, you could tell the moment she picked up a bow that was going to be her bit. But no, and then on the topic of because you said that the action is really well choreographed. I agree. And really well shot. Wholeheartedly disagree.
Okay.
I can't stand the just frenetic moving cam jump cuts. You just got to let it breathe a little bit. The director's doing way too much, and it almost masks. Maybe it's trying to mask inconsistencies or flaws, but it makes it feel a lot like too smooth, and it took me out of it a little bit. Like when there's a just hand-on-hand combat scene. Just show me that. You can have it on a pan or a dolly or something, but don't just continue cutting every 2-3 seconds to a different angle.
I feel like it was not that bad. This is not like Bourne or like Catwoman. I feel like at least to me, like I've seen those more, and that's really really bad to me. I thought this was a lot better than that. Like think of like the bus scene, for example. We get the cool shot of like from outside the bus panning to the left as he like takes out people, you know, going through it. Even like the first when he first gets attacked, and it I feel like it's kind of swinging around, but I don't feel like it was cutting that much. I don't know. I disagree. I like how it's shot. I do also like we get some of the smaller like reaction moments, like in the beginning. I think the fight in the beginning between Wenwu and the mom, who I'm blanking on the name, when they first meet, is like really really freaking cool. And we get some kind of like camera on the ground movement shots, which we don't see very often, and then. You know, we get the where she's like holding him and like him looking up and her looking down, which is like kind of funny. And then that gets called back later with Shang and him. I think it was just a nice comedic beat. I don't know. I liked it quite a bit. I disagree. I don't think the cutting was too bad.
So I would agree with you. I think that scene, the fight in the garden, is cool. But the trouble is when we compare to what we've been watching, it sucks in comparison with all the wire work and stuff and. Everything is too fluid and Gumby with the animation and everything. And it just, It feels like the Americanized knockoff version of that style of fighting. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tricky though, because like I don't know if they fully did the wire work, like Hidden Dragon stuff. I feel like that also would have felt inauthentic, because like also this is an MCU movie, right? So we're in a world right. that we have seen before, so you can't. I feel like you can't just have people flying. I mean, and there was a
That's
little bit
true.
Of
it. Like, there are kind of established laws, but they still do some of the like. Goofy fly around stuff.
Yeah, and that first fight in particular, there is a little bit of it. And I saw that as like an homage, not necessarily as like a ripoff. Because
yeah, I think there were a lot of homages actually like that, and also the bus scene had some. It felt a little like that police story scene where he's hanging out outside the bus Chan. And stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and him like using his jacket to fight and stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like I don't know, maybe just because like I've also like watched some of the stunt breakdowns on this movie, so like I'm a little more invested. I feel like they were trying their best to like do homage, but also do their own thing and like. Yeah, it's hard because you're in a universe that already exists.
Right.
But I want to give a particular shout out to all of the choreography with the rings in particular. I think that stuff was so cool. The final fight between Chong and Wenwu, where he gets the five and then gets all 10, and just like how he's like stepping on them or like swinging on them is just freaking awesome. And like they kept coming up with new cool ways to use the rings. And like, you think like, what can you do with 10 rings? They just kept coming up with new stuff. And I just really, really appreciate that creativity. And I hope they can continue to do that in future movies. I'm worried that like they're going to run out of ideas. But there was a lot of cool stuff in this movie with that.
Yeah, I agree. I think the rings were cool. I think that they're like the perfect kind of weapon to fit with the rest of the narrative. Because you've got the more traditional Eastern... like a lot of melee and a lot of swords and stuff like that. And they kind of feel like an extension.
Right.
Because they're almost just like an extension of your arms. It kind of feels like
right.
up until they become like a supernova death ball that kills the giant monster. But
I thought that was cool. I thought when he's like flying in the air, like doing like the movements and like, I was hyped.
It is. I agree. That it was cool. I quite liked the 10 rings as the
power gimmick. Yeah,
power. And also, there's like a little tip of the hat. I feel like to Lord of the Rings. In that they kind of corrupt you, and you can hear voices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll dig into that at all. It would maybe feel a bit. Retreaded because
Wanda
kind of did the same bit with the book, right?
Right. I don't think that was actually coming from the rings. It was the monster was targeting him because he had the rings, and the rings were powerful enough to break him out. So it wasn't necessarily like the rings were like evil. They're just really freaking strong. He wasn't wearing them for years because of their family in there. He was deciding to grow old with them, but he's like, after she dies, like, nope, I'm putting them back on and I'm being an asshole again. And then I also, there's other things now, like moving on from the action.
Yeah.
Well, I have to ask you, what did you think of the Ben Kingsley reveal? Did that hit for you at all?
Hate it. Really, really hate it. He's fine, all right? And his lines, he's pretty funny. But he could 150% be pulled from this movie, and we would have lost nothing. We already have a comic relief character. We don't need to shoehorn in. It almost feels like a, hey, guys, remember, we're still in the MCU. Like, I didn't like it.
I like it. I think it's, I mean, because he was, for me, a really fun part of Iron Man 3.
I actually agree. I quite liked the Iron Man 3 twist.
Yeah, like, that was great. And, like, seeing him again was just, like, fun. And he wasn't, like, too much in it. And he had some really funny lines. Like, the Planet of the Apes bit is so freaking funny. And, like, the playing dead. Like, and he's not... In my opinion, he's like not in it enough where it's annoying, but I agree. It's like he also be cut probably. He's really just there to get them to the next area, right?
Yeah. It's kind of a plot progression, but I feel like they could have had Morris run up and somehow they understand Morris. I feel like that, even though that is a contrivance, it's less of a contrivance than when they explained like, oh, yeah, so basically I played your dad, and then your dad found out, and he was mad, and they kidnapped me here, and he was going to kill me, but then I did some acting, and they're all like, yay! I feel like there that is. Exposition is also pretty contrived.
Yeah. I will say, there is a short on Disney Plus that came out around Iron Man 3 of him in prison, and the Ten Rings coming to, like, kill him.
Oh!
Which is kind of fun to watch. It's, like, 6 minutes.
Okay, fair enough. And so, I don't know if you would know this, but is the bit where, you know, Ben Kingsley is pretending to be the Mandarin, is that a retcon that that's Wenwu? Or is that actually canon? It would I could believe it to be canon.
It's but canon.
I feel like if it were canon, more people would have been talking about the existence of Wenwu back in Iron Man 3 days.
It's okay, so here's as far as I know. The Ten Rings are like an established thing that was in Iron Man 1. They were the bad guys were part of Ten Rings in Iron Man 3. And he's called the Mandarin. In the comics, the head of the Ten Rings is called the Mandarin. I think for the MCU, they're like, okay, let's retcon that and bring in Wenwu, and he's like actually the head. But I don't know if Wenwu's in the comics.
A much more serviceable Mandarin.
Right. Yeah. Right. And also the Mandarin name, like they mentioned in the movie, is like kind of goofy. Derogatory and is goofy. Yeah. So I really like the choice of like, we're going to retcon a little bit and make it more interesting of like, okay, here's actually, they're actually, because I think people were let, like hardcore comic book fans were let down by the Iron Man 3 twist. It's like, oh, we wanted like the Mandarin from the comics. It's like, well, that's who Wenwu is. He's just not called the Mandarin. So it's a whole,
right.
whole thing. But I think it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's not the most offensive thing ever, but it was an eye roll for me.
Sure. Like, why? It was definitely a pop in the theater when I went to see it.
Okay, and, fair enough.
And it was a fun time. But also, speaking of people in this movie, so watched this movie twice around the time it came out, and watching now I'm like, is that Stephanie Sue?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Not a big role, but I'm like, holy shit, there's Stephanie Sue.
I had the same reaction. I was like furiously going through the IMDb like, wait a second.
Also,
that's Jobu Tapaki.
The actor that plays Razor Fist is the same guy who plays Kid Drago in Creed 2 and Creed 3, which I didn't realize at the time. He's fine.
He's supposed to be Meathead, and he's Meathead. I don't know. I feel like it's weird that the second in command of this like ancient Chinese empire is a Romanian guy with a like lightsaber.
Well, he's not the second command. Second command is the guy with the white mask.
Oh yeah, the guy who doesn't have a character, doesn't have any lines, and then dies.
He has a cool fight scene with Shang though.
He does have a good fight scene. That's for sure. On the Stephanie Sue bit, I'll shoehorn in here another gripe. At the end of the movie, when they circle back and they're at the restaurant again, and they're like unloading their whole story. And Stephanie Sue's like, all right, guys, we get it. Stop making fun of us. Superheroes have been established for so long in this universe. These kind of things just happen. Like, they live in New York?
Okay.
No, San Francisco. But, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility, bro.
Okay, but Perk, these are people who have been friends since high school. Imagine if I was gone for a week and I came back and I was like, oh, by the way, I'm a superhero now. You would not believe me.
If superheroes were walking down the street 24/7, I'd at least give you the time of day or check the calendar on my phone. Make sure it's not April 1.
I don't know. You would not believe me. But yeah, I will say though, those like
it's a little bit of a tired trope.
I really like Shang and Katie's chemistry in general, but some of those scenes like that one when they're talking to each other, like completing each other's sentences, it didn't work for me. Like it just felt very forced and like not real. But like when they're just talking them two of them, like they're great.
Oh yeah, I 100% buy them as homies. Like it,
yeah,
I feel like this that type of scene, it almost seems like it's more of like it this would make more sense if it were a romantic angle, but it's not. I don't know,
which I appreciate. We need to see more platonic male female friendships, so I really appreciate that it didn't go romantic. But the complete each other's sentences thing, as like, it didn't really work for me. But overall, They're really fun to watch, and
they have great chemistry. I think if we want to pivot here to the acting,
yeah, go for it.
I think pretty much all the acting in this movie is terrific. Pretty much meaning I think that the actress who plays the sister is terrible.
I completely disagree. I really, really like her.
Really? What? Yeah,
I think she's great.
She's so stilted and dry, and just her line delivery is meh. I don't know. I just was... Every other actor, maybe it's because everyone else was so good that I picked her out because she was the only one who lacked for me. But
I guess I just really bought her as like the badass. Like I feel like she like sold her action And like, I believe that this character could actually dose things and was like intimidating.
Sure.
Sure. And she didn't have a ton of lines. Maybe her lines weren't great. I'm maybe a little stilted, but I think, but I appreciate that like, I actually bought her as like the sister that was on her own, did her own thing. Like, fuck you. I'm doing my own shit. And like, was very strong. Like, I don't know. I really liked her actually. And I think it is one of her first acting roles. So yeah, she's so like pretty empty.
I might have also like confirmation biased myself a little bit, but I think this is her first film or TV role. And then she's a stage actor, which,
oh, okay.
You know, it might just be like needs to get her footing or something like that. I don't know. Like clearly there's promise. And that from a technical standpoint, she was doing some cool stuff and like their fight scene in the cage is awesome. So,
yeah.
But I couldn't handle her. She was way too monotone, but yeah, I don't know. It. I guess, yeah, to each their own.
Art Fun fact, is
subjective.
While making this movie, she met her husband, who was one of the stunt designers.
Oh, no way. And they got married,
like, after the movie came out. Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, I agree. Acting overall is great. Michelle Yeoh shows up, which is like, yeah, of course.
Michelle Yeoh is so cool, man.
She's great.
She's like my favorite. I love her role in this. I love her like knowing elder type role. And, mm-hmm. and she's cool, and she gives... She gives Shang-Chi the business,
mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
beats him up a little bit in a fight. And yeah, I appreciated seeing her. I think like calling in some of the, like getting some of like the Chinese film scene actors to be a part of this, I think is such a good move and adds a lot.
Yeah. Now that we like understand how big Tony is, knowing they chose him for the villain, like is so much cooler. Yeah. So at the time, I was like, oh, this guy's good. But, like, I didn't know anything about him. And now that we've seen
Now you know he's like, got clout.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great. And he's always down bad in all of his movies.
He does seem to always be down bad. Yeah. Also, the actress who played the mom I thought was really good.
She was great. Yeah.
I don't know her from anything. I don't think she's come up when we've been watching. But
no, her name's Fala Chin.
She was great.
Yeah. I really, really liked her. And I appreciated, like, the flashbacks, and we kind of were able to see more of her throughout the movie. It wasn't just kind of like she's there and then she dies.
I like the structure because there is always flashbacks in Marvel mm-hmm. movies, but I like the structure where the flashback unfolds as the movie progresses. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's her only presence. So didn't take me out of it at all that there were flashbacks because they were really good.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of that, I wanted to talk about how, when Michelle Yeoh is given Shang the business, and she gives him like the pretty generic, you know, believe or find out who you are or like believe in who you are kind of stuff, which is like, mm-hmm. okay, we said before, but I like how they do it. Where like, he thinks about it and he's like, I need to go in on my dad and be a killer. And we get the reveal that he actually did kill his mark. And then that's wrong. And then he has to go and kind of do both mom and dad. I just like how that kind of progressed and it was not as contrived as it normally is. Like, believe in who you are. It's like, oh yeah, I do, superpower unlocked. It was like, right. He has to kind of have some more steps after that to kind of get there.
And I know like you could pick a hole in the fact that he's never had the rings and then all of a sudden he is the master of the rings, but I didn't really want to see a montage of him learning how to use the rings in the middle of that monster.
And it's like you said, it's like an extension of their martial arts, so I think it works. And like, that's, we saw his mom point. Control them pretty quick in the first fight when she kind of steals some from Wenwu when they first meet and throws it back at him. So I think it just kind of it makes sense within the action like design. So like I'm here for it, and I'm super excited to see what they do in the future because I just want to see more cool ring choreography because that was like my favorite part of all that stuff. But one other thing I wrote down that I want to shout out is in Tao Lo, I really like all the creature design. Of just like, I think I'm pretty sure they're most, if not all of them, are based on like Chinese myth.
Oh, nice.
Because I recognize this
big lion dog things.
Well, I recognize some of them from like Monster Hunter, which I know are also based on like the horse things. I'm blanking on the names.
Yeah, they looked familiar.
I can't think of it right now, but
also the lion dogs looked familiar.
The lion dogs are freaking awesome. And then like the phoenixes and the nine-tailed fox and stuff. So it was really cool, and I like that setting. And
I love that whole like set and that whole set area, and just the the colors, just like so much vibrancy. And then obviously when the big bad comes out, everything just gets gray and whatever. But you know, up until then, it's just a really beautiful setting.
Yeah, we got the cool red versus blue, good guys versus bad guys stuff. And yeah, it's nice. And yeah, and then we already kind of mentioned it, but I think Awkwafina's comic relief is like really solid, and she's fun in this movie, and I think was a good addition.
I think she's great. I don't
she'd
love...
She'd be kind of annoying, but...
Yeah. No, I think she's awesome, and I think at first I was not sure, but the Hotel California bit I did think was pretty funny.
You did,
she's
yeah.
like standing on the scaffolding and like starts singing Hotel California. Yep. I was like, I know they just teased this, but still pretty good.
And that's the song they sing in karaoke in the post-credit scene that you didn't watch.
Damn.
With Wong.
No, and I think she's great. I don't like the way that her character features in and just like...
It was a little rushed.
She stops being the comic relief when we have Ben Kingsley start being the comic relief. And at that point, she's like, oh, I'm holding a bow. I guess I'm an archer now. And then fast forward, we see her fire one arrow. And then after yeah. that, she's like hitting the kill shot on the big bad. It's just, okay.
I wish that little subplot would have been reworked a little bit. Because like, she doesn't really choose that. Someone's like, hey, come with me and help. And then she just ends up doing it. And it's hard because like, I think the line that she's told, which is if you aim at nothing, you hit nothing, is like a great line and yeah. like could be good to like help give her character some direction. But then she kind of doesn't have agency. She just kind of gets told to start shooting arrows and she becomes like good at it. So I wish that she had like chosen that or shown some interest previously, or is there something in San Francisco that like tied back to, or I don't know. I agree. I think it was not quite fully developed as it needed to be. But.
And then, yeah, I mean, my only other gripe, I've been talking super negatively, but I did mention I quite enjoyed myself. Part of that is just because I like all the characters. You know, I like the story. My only other gripe, it sticks really close to the typical Marvel formula for the you know, origin story.
Yeah.
You know, where there's a mentor character who dies early and, you know, there's a character conflict and they have to earn their power and all that. And it's big bad CG monster mash at the end. But I think it's like, it does such a good job with it overall. Like, it's a beaten path, but there are nice flowers on the side of the path. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. And just speaking as a Marvel fan, we haven't seen a lot of origin stories lately. So it's kind of nice.
It has been a little while.
That feels least, more like well-worn territory, I guess. But I hear you. But I agree. I think like they did a good job of incorporating just Chinese, not maybe enough Chinese culture, but like a solid amount of Chinese culture. Like I appreciate like the whole like what like first 10 minutes of the movie are all in Chinese.
I wish more. I'm biased, but I wish more of the movie were in Chinese because there are a lot of scenes where it would make a lot of sense. Like every time it's just. It's just Wenwu? The father. Yeah, it's just Wenwu and Shang-Chi. It would make sense for them to be speaking Chinese. Like, I would not at all. But this is like a, you know, you got to appeal to the, you know, the random in the audience. And there are a lot of people who still won't watch a movie with subtitles. So,
yeah. We're slowly getting there. I think it's the movies like this where it's like half and half or maybe less than half and half.
A good start. These people definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, that really led to Shang-Chi. Yeah, I love this movie. Really fun time. So as recommendations, if you got a hankering for more Marvel stuff that's origin story-esque and also similar kind of fun, the show Ms. Marvel that came out last year I think is a good place. Cause that also really incorporates Muslim culture super, super heavily and Muslim, like a learning experience for me learning about a lot of that stuff, and that was really fun. So I definitely would recommend that show.
I'm super glad that Marvel's doing stuff like this just to spotlight some cultures that don't usually get that spotlight in big universes like this.
Yeah.
I think they did a pretty damn good job with the Chinese version. It's like an Americanized, Marvelized version of a Chinese action movie, but they're making that, you know? And the common man in America is not beating down the door asking for like a Chinese Marvel movie. I would be now. if it weren't here after our last five movies, I would be screaming at Marvel headquarters, "Hey guys, do something like this." And I'm glad they did.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Oh, and yeah, recommendations. I mean, Crouching Tiger, yeah. Hero, like just like Chinese action movies are awesome, especially the ones more based in like ancient China, I think are a better, like Police Story is really cool and definitely watch Police Story, but I think that this movie parallels a little better with the more ancient.
I'd agree. It was funny in the very, very opening scene with when Wu taking on that like fort and going against that army, you know, mm-hmm. and he uses the rings as like a whip kind of like swing around to like block the arrows. I'm like, this feels like kind of like Hero. Like not a direct like homage, but like I'm getting some Hero vibes.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like there's just, I'd love to pick the director's brain, even if I think he did a bad job. and just ask him, because there's clearly a lot of homage. And I want to ask him, like, okay, list for me down all the movies that inspired this. Because, yeah, that arrow scene feels a ton like the end of Hero, for sure. Or the middle, when they're all doing their calligraphy.
That's what I was thinking, him and, was it Falling Snow?
Snow and Broken Sword, yeah.
And they're just... It's Jet Li and Maggie Chung. Maggie Chung. Mm-hmm. Is that Falling Snow? I feel like it's something.
I think
snow.
It's Falling Sky, right? No, it's Snow. You're right.
Sky is Donnie Yen.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm looking it up.
I think it's Falling Snow then, you're right.
Flying Snow.
Flying Snow. And then Falling Sky is Donnie Yen?
No, he's just Sky.
Just Sky. Got it.
He got all Broken Sword, Flying Snow, Moon,
I feel
and
like
Sky.
He had like a two-part name as well, but I don't remember.
No, he's just Sky. But anyway.
According to IMDb. Have they even seen the movie?
That's true.
Yeah, I have. I love it.
That is our review of Shang-Chi and Legend of Ten Rings. Before we review what we're watching next week, we got to do our little bonus reviews. Perk, I got four.
Oh,
you got
dear.
One.
So start I'll do off two. With a couple then, yeah.
Yeah. I'll start with the two movies I watched. One that I think you'll be happy that I watched finally is The Menu.
Oh, nice.
I was in the mood for something a little darker, a little comedic, I guess, and some actors I like. And I tell you what, Perk, I really, really love this movie.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. The dark humor worked for me. I think the commentary is great. I think the characters are super, super, like, fun and interesting and just very well crafted. I just really – and I love the ending. I think it's very, very cool movie, and I wish I'd got more love last year because I think it's just a really fun time.
It is. It feels super unique, and I love the way that they kind of pick at each character's flaw, especially the climactic moment with Nicholas Holt's character.
Yeah.
So good.
So good. And, like –
cook.
You could argue like it was too mean, I guess. I'm like, nah, he deserves that shit, man.
He
like he's
being an
asshole of me. I did think the reason why Leguizamo was there was so freaking funny. And like it still had some
me.
Like
well, I don't know, should we not spoil? It's been
I'll give you like vague hints.
Okay.
Ray Fiennes went to go see his movie and was disappointed.
Yeah.
On like his one day off. But like he ties it in with like some reason, more reasoning than just that. But yeah, just like kind of the critique of critics and then, but also of like the food world itself and
also just and the ultra wealthy too.
And ultra wealthy. Yeah. And like the reveal of Anya Taylor-Joy's who her character actually is and her kind of conversation with Ray Fiennes are great. And kind of how she gets out is
her
really,
exit?
Really satisfying. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Freaking awesome. Yeah. It is a great movie, man.
I had such a good time. I'm a little bummed that a movie like Triangle of Sadness got so much attention and all the award talk and everything when it has very similar themes to The Menu, but is so much more ham-fisted. And in the back half is just downright boring. I wish I wish more people saw the menu. I'm glad you liked it. Because I love like thriller type movies, but mm-hmm. I'm a baby, so there's a fine line. No, too much horror is too much, but I think this treads that line.
All I needed was you to tell me there wasn't any cannibalism, and I was in.
Fair enough.
You know, but
that's what I was worried about too.
Yeah. Well, it was fun too because I was watching. I'm like, oh, there's Jean-Luc Dessau. I know he was in this. Oh, there's Hong Chau. I know she was in this.
Hong Chau. Who does Hong Chau play?
She's like the secretary who like meets everybody, and then she like.
I was just not paying attention.
It's Hong Chau. I'm like, oh
no
oh,
way.
Yeah.
I love She's Hong great. Chau. She's awesome.
So yeah, I really, really enjoyed the menu. Highly recommend it. And then I also finally watched Nobody.
All right.
The Bob Odenkirk action, John Wick-esque movie. Didn't love it, which is unfortunate because I was really looking forward to it.
I heard really good things. Watched John Wick, and you were comparing it to that.
It's not because of the action choreo. I don't like the main character, which is surprising because Bob Odenkirk is great, but like, I don't think it's a spoiler. We came out a while ago. The main character is a sociopath, and he gets rewarded for it, and that's what I don't appreciate. Like another show. That has a sociopath as main character is Barry. Barry does not get rewarded for his actions. Like he gets a bit, but then he has to face reality. Have you seen Nobody? I'm assuming no.
I have not yet. No.
Okay.
So like
the general
probably won't with your glowing review.
Well, so the reason I have an issue is so he's a similar John Wick hitman that's retired, right?
Yeah.
In this case, he's like a government hitman who like took out government people who were doing bad shit, and. He retired because he thought like he might want to have a family that might be like enjoyable. So he does that, and in his words, he overcorrected because he took all of the violence out of his life, and that's like very fun for him. So like when he gets a chance to like go back in and like do some damage and let some of his anger, I guess, out, he's like craving it. And so like this is a character that's like repressing his violence side, right? I feel like John Wick is like someone who genuinely was like never doesn't really enjoy the violence. Like he feels like he has to do it, I guess.
He's to trying. No, and there's like a like with John Wick, there's like a psychological compulsion in there somewhere, but he's trying to suppress it. Where from what you're telling me, it sounds like Bob Odenkirk's just kind of bored.
Yeah, exactly. Because you never in all the John Wick movies, I never get the feeling that Keanu or that John Wick is enjoying killing people. It's like it more seems like a necessity.
Yeah, like
Bob Odenkirk
means to an end. Yeah,
right. Bob Odenkirk's character enjoys hurting people, and he's repressed that for whatever. He's like, give me a reason, right? And the violence is definitely more on the gory side compared to Wick. I mean, Wick is pretty, intense.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more like this kind of blood splat and kind of. They set up shots that are in action that's a little more on the gorier side. And, yeah, he just gets, like, allowed to, like, fuck a bunch of people up, and he is having a great time, and then he's, like, gets a happy ending. I'm just like, I don't know. I just don't like characters, protagonists that enjoy violence just for the sake of it, you know? And there's, like, something that, like, there's a one event that sets him off, but he doesn't have to do any of the rest of it. He just does it because he likes it. And I just don't enjoy that. And the action choreo was cool enough, but, like, it's just, again, Russian mob is the villain, which we've seen a million fucking times. Even in John Wick, right? That was the first one. And, I mean, I do appreciate the choreo, and I appreciate that Odenkirk, like, trained and did a lot of the stunts and stuff, but it's more realistic. Like, he's getting damaged and hurt during the fight as opposed to Wick, where he's kind of invincible. But at the end of the day, I just don't love the main character's motivations, and that kind of soured it for me, unfortunately. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, I'm sad I didn't like it more, but that's just kind of the way it went. Perk, what'd you watch this week?
All right, my turn. I watched new Apple TV joint Tetris.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't spoil anything, because I still want to watch it.
I won't.
Okay.
Way better than I imagined it was going to be. I mean, because
okay, hell yeah.
I'm not alone in when I heard they're making a Tetris movie. I assumed it was going to be some garbage like Adam Sandler Pixels.
Right, right.
And like it's going to be a city where blocks are falling to cover up the in-between spaces of the buildings or something.
Mm-hmm.
But no, so basically it is a almost like a spy thriller about our main character played by Taron Egerton, trying to get the publishing rights to Tetris out of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, which is a true story, by the way. This is
there's probably some liberties taken, but definitely, based on a true story, it's really good. I think it starts slow. It takes a little while to get me in there. But once it starts clipping along, Taron Egerton is really charming and easy to root for. I love
him. He's so great, yeah.
Yep. The bad guy is generic bad guy, but whatever. He fits the purpose because the Soviet Union is kind of just faceless bad guy, so having a faceless bad guy works out pretty well. Mm-hmm. There's the actual creator of Tetris is in the movie.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, nope, sorry. He has a character.
Oh, okay.
I don't think the actual guy's in the movie. I mean, the guys might have cameoed or something, but he doesn't play himself or anything.
Right.
But yeah, the Russian creator of Tetris, who's played by, it's probably not Aaron Eckhart, but he's a spitting image for Aaron Eckhart. He's great. He's really good. And their dynamic is good. They have great chemistry. The story is just so interesting. And it's one of those, like, nobody knows this story really.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we're telling it as opposed to telling All Quiet on the Western Front for the fifth time, you know?
Right.
Like, there are stories out there that haven't been told and given at face value. The battle for the publishing rights of Tetris does not sound that intense. But if you dig a little deeper into it, yeah, it's really cool and it's really good.
Well, it's wild too because everybody's played Tetris.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. Like, everybody knows it.
How's nobody heard the story when it's like probably the most played video game of all time? It is, right?
Yeah, it's the most sold video game of all time.
Yeah.
The direction's pretty good. It's a little goofy. There are a few scenes where they do like an 8-bit pixelization. Like there's a car chase that at one point gets pixelized, and I think it's pretty cool, but it feels a little weird because it's almost out of nowhere. And they have a cool little act structure with different chapter. It's like level one, and then it's like
gotcha.
Main characters here. Level two is Nintendo headquarters. Level three is like Moscow, you know. So
right.
But yeah, I like definitely check it out. You wouldn't think, but yeah, it's good.
Oh yeah, I'm glad to hear you liked it because I heard the news like make sure my God, it's gonna be bad. And then the trailer came out and I watched the trailer. I'm like, that looks fucking awesome. And then the reviews came out. They're like, it's not quite as awesome as you want it to be. So I'm glad to hear that you're positive on it. Hell yeah. And I freaking love Taron Egerton. He's great. Have you seen Eddie the Eagle with him?
No.
Oh, great movie. Anyway. All right. So then my last two reviews for this week are both anime. Shocker. So I finished Sunny Boy, which is the one I talked about last week. That's kind of like the lost premise where you have kids who get sent to a different dimension and start getting superpowers. And they're kind of just trying to survive and figure out the way back to their home. This is such a weird show, man. Like, I liked it. I did not understand half of it. Like, as far as, like, what was happening a lot of time, no fucking idea. Because there is very little exposition. I'm sure the writer knew what was actually happening. So I'm like, let's do this cool thing. But I think the characters are really strong and they pull you through. And it's just you want to see them interact and kind of see how they progress. I think like the visuals are really cool. They do some like they put in like some 3D like psychedelic imagery sometimes like in the backgrounds and stuff like that. That's like really, really unique and have not seen before. So that was really cool. The soundtrack is awesome. I think there's a scene, I can't remember if it's the second last episode or last episode, that is just like amazing with like really cool visuals happening. But yeah, it's hard to recommend. I'm like, it's just such a weird show and a weird premise. Like you won't understand it, but it's kind of, if you like the vibes, like if you're there for vibes and interesting characters and dimension hopping, you know, I'd probably say check it out. So yeah, if you're listening and you're into like sci-fi, weird sci-fi stuff with like teens, I'd say give it a try, because I've never seen anything like it, and I'm glad that it was made. I maybe wish it was a little bit more like parsable and maybe a little bit shorter. I think 12 episodes was a little bit too long. There was a couple of kind of, I don't want to say filler, but just kind of nothing of consequence really happened. Episodes near the end. So yeah, weird show, but overall enjoyed it. And then I also watched an anime that I've been meaning to watch for a long time called Given. This is a, what I thought was a just another kind of music anime with like a band, like a boy band, and they come together and make music and grow as people and kind of standard anime fare. It's not really. It's more of like romantic drama, and the setting is just a band and music. And I knew ahead of time that it was very like gay positive and gay focused. And yeah, like basically if a character has a name, 90% chance they're gay in the show, which is just great. There's been so many times in anime where you have like two male characters that are really close, and I'm like, just kiss. Like, come on. We all know. Just send it, please. And they never do. And in this show, they're like, no, these characters are openly gay, and like they're hooking up, and it's great. So I really appreciate that kind of like visibility and the representation. And overall, I think it's like a really solid drama. Like, it works. I was a little bit disappointed coming into it looking for more music, because with these, like, the band gets formed, and for me, I'm like, okay, there's going to be like a concert in the middle of the show and then like a concert at the end of the show. No, this entire show is leading up to one song, and that's all we get of them actually playing music together, which, you know, is fine. But like I said, it's not really about that. It's more just about these characters and the drama and like romance and stuff. And I think it works. I think it's very emotionally effective, and you know, it's not like the best like romantic drama anime I've seen, and not the best music anime I've seen, but like for doing both those things, it's pretty solid. So yeah, that sounds interesting to anybody, then I would say check out Given. I think it's a pretty good anime. So, yeah.
Nice.
All right. Next week, Perk, you're forcing us.
Yep, you've been trapped. You've got to watch a movie.
We're watching a movie that we tried to get to, I think, before. Or we maybe almost did before.
I think we considered throwing it in the Chinese movie string, but we wanted to go for more like traditional Chinese productions.
Right. And this one's kind of in the middle.
Yeah, it's half and half. Like there's English and there's spoken Chinese as well, but.
Right. So we're going to be following Awkwafina to The Farewell. Is this A24?
I don't remember. All I remember is that it like tragically went unrecognized. Like Awkwafina should have an Oscar for this movie. Spoiler alert, guys. I like this movie.
Yeah. Okay. You've seen this before. I have not.
Yes.
So yeah, watching The Farewell next week, following Awkwafina. It's streaming on Fubo and Canopy, but I'm probably just going to rent. I'm just going to rent it because those services, who knows what's going on there.
Fair enough.
So if you want to give those a shot, you can. Otherwise, it's rentable. But yeah, next week we'll be doing The Farewell. So yeah, until next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.